This is VLX number 5, The Magi Part 1. VLX stands for Video Lectio Divina, meaning the divine reading on video, that is YouTube. It's the divine reading of the Gospels. I'm Father David Nix, and I'll be teaching you not the meditations of the saints on the Gospels, but literally how to meditate on the Gospels like the saints. Today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. If you want to learn the method, go listen to VLX number 2. I use the ESV, which is the same as the RSV. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Okay, that's Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. First, I'm going to teach you the method of St. Bruno, how to meditate on that. Quick review of how to meditate in this apophatic way. Number 1 is lectio, careful study. Number 2 is meditatio, that's hidden treasure. Number 3 is oratio, which is drive away the evil and keep the good. Number 4 is contemplatio, the gaze of love. And number 5 is operatio, resolutions. Today we're going to meditate on the Magi, the wise men. The Magi or the wise men were probably not Jews. At least one of them came from Persia, which is modern-day Iran. Now, the careful study I propose from St. Bruno's method applied to today is first to think about how extraordinary it is that the Magi want to not just honor this newborn Jesus, but to literally worship him. Now, why would pagans want to do this? The word for worship there is proskuneisai. Proskuneisai in Greek is to worship. According to Strong's Dictionary, which I'll be using a lot, that word has a link to ancient Persian. Strong reads, quote, "Among the Persians, this is to fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence," end quote. So these Magi are coming from modern-day Iran, but this is before Islam, so they probably look like modern-day Middle Easterners, but were not Muslims, of course. They came from a polytheistic culture, but they themselves must have already been interiorly enlightened by God or an angel that there was only one God, the God of the Jews, and that he was to be born himself. Why? Why do we say himself? Because it uses the word worship. That indicates the incarnation, not just honoring as one would a king, because only God can be worshipped. The Magi would have known this. So it's very interesting the Greek there uses that word, proskuneisai, to worship, to fall on your knees. So they're seeking to worship Jesus, to literally fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence, like Strong's Dictionary said, in reference to the Persian, modern-day Iran. Now, a quick note here. The only disadvantage to the podcast is you don't see the Greek words on the screen that I put up. But every word on the Padre Peregrino podcast is the same as this Padre Peregrino YouTube channel. So it's easier to grab the podcast on the go, but you get a few more graphics on the YouTube. Okay, another thing you might want to bring to prayer is that two different words for rulers are used here in Matthew chapter 2 today. If you open your Bible and look at the last quote from Micah, we're going to look at that one, and then we're going to end on the first one. We're going to look at the one from Micah. So the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2 is prophesied in today's Lectio Divina. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Both say, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." It's interesting because the Greek word for the ruler there is hegemon, and that's where we get the English word hegemony, meaning the ruling of one country over another. Strong defines the Greek hegemos, or here hegumenos, as a leader of any kind, a guide, ruler, prefect, president, chief general, commander, and sovereign. So Mike is already calling Jesus these things over 600 years before Jesus is born. That's quite a contrast with the sweetness that we often think of in Christmas. Again, think about that. A prophet several hundred years before Christ just said that he would be a ruler, a prefect, a president, a chief, general, commander, a sovereign. We all go to Mass at Christmas and we hear that he's the King of the Jews and it's in one ear and out the other. But have you ever thought of him as a commander? So one thing you could bring to your own 15 minutes of Lectio Divina, if you like this way of St. Bruno, and again, the way of St. Bruno is not using your imagination, but using your intellect, and what we get to with St. Teresa of Avila, that's using your imagination. But we're on the method of St. Bruno now. So if you like Lectio Divina, the way of St. Bruno, one thing that you might want to meditate on for 15 minutes is that very word, hegemenos. What you might want to do is ask the Lord to show you which parts of your life you still could say that Jesus is not fully your guide, ruler, prefect, president, chief, general, commander, and sovereign. You see, those words contain power. And this explains another interesting word that you may have missed, but which really sticks out in the Greek. St. Matthew said in the section that we're looking at today, St. Matthew says that Herod was troubled at the news of this coming commander, Jesus. In fact, even if you heard that at Christmas Mass for many, many years, you might have missed out that all of Jerusalem, Pasa Yerusalema in Greek, was troubled at the coming of Christ. Go look in any Bible. I'm making this up. All of Jerusalem was troubled at this news of the coming Christ. The word for troubled there is etarachthe, to strike one's spirit with fear and dread, to render anxious or distressed. Now, interestingly, the word used for both Herod and Jesus as king is also here in Matthew 2. That's a different word from what we just saw from Micah. We're going to talk briefly about this word before we move on to the way of St. Teresa of Avila. The Greek basileos, that's the word for king here at the beginning of our passage, beginning of Matthew chapter 2. The first basileos name there is Herod, as Herodo tu basileos in the Greek, Herod the king. The second name there is Jesus as Basileus ton Judaion. Basileus ton Judaion in Greek is King of the Jews. So Basileus, by contrast, means Lord of the land, a king, the sovereign one. So to finish with the apophatic method, I would suggest when you turn your phone off, put it into airplane mode, set the timer for 15 minutes. For this method, you might want to ask Jesus where he is not yet the sovereign in your life. Maybe which parts or addictions you have that you could not say he's the guide, the ruler, the prefect, president, chief, general, commander, and sovereign of your life. Or simply meditate on why Jerusalem was worried at the coming of such a commander. I don't say meditate on this worrying to increase your servile fear of Jesus, but to remain in awe at the absolute majesty of Christ. So maybe finish these 15 minutes of meditation by literally bowing down, literally getting out of your meditation lazy boy chair there, and putting your forehead to the ground in the worship of the triune God, remembering that proskunesai means to worship. As Strong said, among the Persians, to fall down upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence. So let's now switch to the method of St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius. We're going to look at the same section, Matthew chapter 2, but this is for the people who really like to use their imagination. And maybe listen to this if you're more of the St. Bruno method, because I'm going to give you some other insights that can even help a little bit with the St. Bruno method. Okay, but the method of St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola, that's called the cataphatic method. That means it uses lively imagination in this time of mental prayer. Let's very briefly review the method before we jump into the Magi. Number one is material. The selection of material and preparation, again, if you keep up with this meditation series, you won't have to do that because I'm going to select it for you every day. And that's why you may want to bring your Bible to this VLX series, Video Lectio Divina series, if you're doing the YouTube version especially. Number two is consideration. This is where you ask, who is in this scene? What is he doing? Why is he doing it, and what does it mean to me? Three is conversation. Conversation is literally that. You're going to have a conversation with the person in your imagination that you're getting from the Gospels. And again, if this sounds fluffy to people, go listen to VLX2. You're going to hear quotes from St. Alphonsus Liguori, St. Teresa of Avila, and you're going to learn this is what Ignatius of Loyola told an entire army of the toughest men in Europe how to pray. And number four is gratitude. This is more like resolutions. Okay, so today you're going to join the Magi on their walk through the Middle East from Iran to Armenia using your imagination for 15 minutes when you turn your phone off after this podcast. Now, I want to give you a little side note for a minute on current events before we jump into this way. Did you know that there have been more Muslim converts to Christianity the past 50 years than probably the combined 1,500 years since Islam started? Much of this is due to a single man, a Coptic Orthodox priest named Father Zachariah Botros. Father Zachariah is an 85-year-old Egyptian man who illegally preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to tens of thousands of Muslims in Arabic every day on satellite radio. Now, he's always on the run through the United States because he's attributed by Muslim governments with several million converts a year away from Islam into Christianity. You heard that right. Several million converts a year from Islam to Christianity are due to him. And many of these will show up at Catholic priests' doors across the Middle East asking for baptism. Muslim leaders have put a $50 million bounty on his head for whoever will kill him, $50 million for whoever will kill him, because he tells how Islam is false and how Jesus loves all Muslims enough to die for them. Do you realize a $50 million bounty on the head of Father Zachariah is more than the United States had on the head of bin Laden? Okay, what does this have to do with St. Teresa of Avila? Because I'm going to have you walk today with the Magi, one of the wise men, who were of the same bloodline as a Middle Easterner today. A Persian is simply a modern-day Iranian. So you might want to set up the scene by pausing this video and doing a Google image search of Iranian countryside, Armenian countryside, and Israeli countryside. Please never Google image Armenians or Israelis or Brazilians or Americans or any other nationality of people because you're going to see immodest images. And if you put in Iranians, you're going to see also violent images. So I never suggest that you Google image people. Don't put that in there. But I think you're going to be safe if you Google image Iranian countryside, Armenian countryside, Israeli countryside. And I'm really annoyed at so many of the movies on Jesus that just have him constantly in the desert. When you Google those three, you're going to see just as much green as if you're walking through Napa Valley, California, as Death Valley, California. There's quite a bit of green. Anyone out there who's been to Israel knows that it looks a lot more like California than it does the Mojave Desert. Well, the Mojave's in California. But look at those so you can have a background set up for the imagination that you're going to be doing in this way of prayer. So the Magi, according to later mystics and saints, went through Armenia. That's why I'm going to have you also Google Armenian countryside. But I think it would be good to Google image these countrysides for the future meditations too. As I mentioned, God is bringing tons and tons of Middle Easterners now in the 21st century to baptism through Father Zachariah Botros, but also through private revelations and dreams and visions. I've been told that Catholic and evangelical missionaries, and I've heard this from more than one source, Catholic and evangelical missionaries in the Middle East both say that about 25% of their converts come from Jesus appearing in a dream to Muslims. And like the first century when God revealed his truth to the Persian Magi, even before they bowed down to worship Jesus, so now the Holy Spirit is doing something awesome, just as powerful today with Iranians as he did with the Magi 2,000 years ago from Persia. Same word, same place. So this is why I think you should picture yourself walking through modern-day Iran and talking to one of those wise men. Picture his face. Picture what he would be wearing. I actually think what they would be wearing is probably pretty close to those little creches you probably grew up with. So why don't you picture yourself walking through modern-day Iran and talking to a single wise man, just one of those wise men, about why you are seeking Jesus so intensely in your life right now. You're literally walking on your way through Iran and Armenia to modern-day Palestine to see Jesus and Mary and Joseph for the first time. Feel that anticipation by being really generous in setting up your imagination. You're not going to talk to Jesus and Mary today. You're going to talk to only this wise man on a very long hike. To help you with the visual of what he might look like, here's what St. Bede described the Magi as in the 8th century. Again, this is a saint describing them in the 8th century. Quote, "The Magi were the ones who gave gifts to the Lord. The first is said to have been Melchior, an old man with white hair and a long beard, who offered gold to the Lord as to a king. The second, Caspar by name, young and beardless and ruddy complexioned, honored him as God by his gifts of incense, an oblation worthy of divinity. The third, black-skinned and heavily bearded, named Balthazar, by his gift of myrrh testified to the Son of Man who was to die." Close quote. Okay, so when this video is done, you may want to turn off your phone or put it to airplane mode and put it on a timer for 15 minutes to make this meditation. You are walking with a Magi on the way to the birth of Jesus and talking to this wise man about your life. So what you want to do is set up the five senses. What does he look like? Do you stop and make food? And is he making bread and tea? What does that smell like? What is the bread and tea that he gives you taste like? What do these Armenian trees around you look like? What does the countryside of Iran look like? What is it like to look up at the stars as you talk to him? Maybe you stop, set a fire, and you're both on your backs looking up at the stars, talking about the first time you're going to see Jesus in your meditation. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What do you actually smell in the countryside? Do you smell like goats walking by? Do you smell, maybe he's heavily incensed because he's bringing incense to the Lord Jesus? Really be generous in setting all of this up, and most likely God's going to be generous in what he gives you. So again, if you think this sounds too modernist or overly sentimental or something, go watch VLX2 to hear all the quotes from St. Teresa of Avila to learn this is the way to rapid progress in the spiritual life. Remember, the Carmelites are the great masters of interior prayer, and this is how you start. St. Teresa wrote in Vita, means life, which is her autobiography, quote, "You can place yourself in the physical presence of Christ, talk with him, laugh with him, and confide in him. Instead of using formal prayers, extemporaneously express your interests. This will result in rapid progress," close quote. Extemporaneous just means spontaneous. And instead of Christ today, it's one of the wise men. So you will speak spontaneously to the wise men. And by the way, all of these wise men were later canonized. So you're not praying to a pagan in this meditation. You're actually talking to a canonized saint about your life as you walk with the Magi, as you walk with one of these wise men. And so again, speak spontaneously to him on the road. As St. Teresa said, talk with this Magi guy. Laugh with him. Confide in him. Instead of using formal prayers, extemporaneously express your interests. This will result in rapid progress. But really, it's not about being super chatty. I should maybe modify this a little bit. In those 15 minutes, you may just say something like, "I am thrilled that I'm going to seek the Savior of the world with you." And then maybe just picture yourself walking with him for 15 minutes of silence after telling him how thrilled you are to be meeting the Son of God in your next meditation. So don't be surprised if in your prayer God has one of the Magi say something at the end. A lot of times something cool will happen in the last 2 minutes of those 15 minutes, or if you can crank it up to 30 minutes, great. But also don't be embarrassed if the Magi says nothing to you at the end, and you just both walk in the silence of this great anticipation in meeting the Christ child. We'll get to see Christ in the next meditation later this week, so don't jump the gun on that. This is just walking through Iran, Armenia, and Palestine with one of the Magi. Just walk and talk with a wise man today. Walk in great love and anticipation of what it will be like to literally bow down and worship Christ when you arrive with these kings to see the commander of the world wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's the way of St. Ignatius of Loyola, that he taught countless men. That's the way of Teresa of Avila, that she taught countless women, both in the 16th century. Okay, just a couple announcements. The only disadvantage, as I said, of the podcast is the Greek words up on the screen and occasional pictures will be missing, but you're going to hear the exact same words on Padre Peregrino YouTube as you do Padre Peregrino on Apple Podcasts. So make sure to subscribe to Padre Peregrino on YouTube or a podcast app, since I can't upload to Sensus Fidelium anymore for copyright problems. Please pray for my apostolates and have your family pray for everyone who will watch these. And quick reminder, what you get in this meditation in 15 minutes, you can actually pray all day with. You can continue to picture, say, one of these canonized Magi at your side after 15 minutes of silence, all through the rest of your day, cooking dinner, changing diapers, doing dishes, even driving to work. In fact, you can let what comes to you in meditation really start to fill your mind in the rosary. Too often, I think we just crank through the beads without any meditation, but obviously the rosary is going to bring you a lot of help, or a lot, your rosary is going to bring a lot better union with Christ and Our Lady if you actually bring this way of meditation to your rosary. And how about your mental prayer on the days that we don't do VLX? My suggestion is that you just meditate on the Passion of Christ, and maybe you could watch the movie, or you could get the book that the movie is based on, The Dolorous Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ by Catherine Emick. And then finally, last thing is, you can use this YouTube series as just a Bible study, but again, I really think you're going to get a lot more out of this if you find 15 minutes soon hereafter to turn your phone off. God bless you.